The month of June has been declared Family Month for our church, so we have compiled a list of messages and activities to strengthen the family. We are kicking the celebration off with our Vacation Bible School, where all ages are invited. And so this message that you'll hear today is with this concept of strengthening the family in mind. And it also ties within our theme for VBS, which is superheroes. You know, when I think about heroes, it doesn't begin with Marvel or many of the other great comics. It begins with looking at the moms and dads and children of the family. Do you know any superheroes? Listen to this message and be sure to share your thoughts with me. God bless you. See, what I'm talking about is it's gonna take everyone to make this thing a success. To make a go of the family, it's going to take every member, big and small, and we all are linked to one another. Amen. I'm so excited because we're getting ready to go into our week of VBS. We're getting ready to launch this off. And we're talking about this year. Our theme this year is everyday superheroes. Are there any everyday superheroes in there? In the house tonight? Anybody defying some odds? Anybody leaping over buildings in a single bound? Anybody doing something that nobody thought you could do? Anybody overcoming the odds? We're talking to the heroes in the room tonight. If you're a hero and you're done, praise God. Hallelujah. So there's been work going on to encourage us and to inspire us. All week we're going to have things going on. I want you to wear your superhero outfit. I want you to know that every day it's going to be different teachers, different activities. We have a hero training program on tomorrow. Sister Mildred is going to be working us out. Amen. Some of us as heroes, we don't got out of shape. I mean, you still a shape, but you may not be the right type of shape for what God's trying to do. So we're going to activate you with your hero training tomorrow. So come ready to sweat. Amen. But every day there's going to be something special in store for you and the family. And so since we're talking about superheroes, I wanted to take a moment and talk about a hero from Scripture. The message title today is Slay Like David. Chronicles of a True Superhero. Slay Like David. We're going to look at 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're going to go from the 8th through the 11th verses. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So if you have that, I want you to just stand to your feet. And we're going to read this scripture. And we're going to 1 Samuel, 17th chapter, verses 8 through 11. It should say Goliath stood. Is that right? Amen. We got it? Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only servants of Saul. Choose one person to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be my slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a person who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. You may be seated. As we talk about family, I want to explain David's familial position. David was the youngest of many great sons. In fact, later on, we're going to find out that David was so insignificant in his family structure that when the important prophet came to their home, they forgot to invite David.
Amen.
Now, hear me good.
David
was in his family, but the family at times forgot all about David. I'm not trying to be a stick. I'm not trying to stir up nothing. But maybe that's your story, that everybody in the family is doing one thing and maybe you feel at times out of place. Don't look around. Don't point. We just said I love you. We just said I appreciate you. So we're not going to start no mess. But David, as far as the structural role, seemed insignificant. He seemed like he was not a consequential part of the family's success, yet it was that person that God was going to use to not only save the family, but all of Israel. In other words, the entire nation. Do you realize that you, in the position where you are, may be the very one God calls to bring it all together in the end? You may be the one, when it's all said and done, to keep the family from failing, to keep God's plan moving forward. And so David was small in stature. He was small in place of his family, but that's not all. What's the point of it? The point is, I may be small, but that's not all. In fact, I want you to say that. I want you to look at your neighbor and say,
I may be small,
but that's not all.
See,
there is more to you than your family position. There is more to you than what you're not. There is more to you. You know, maybe you wasn't the first one. Maybe you're not the prettiest one. Maybe you're not the fastest one. But there is more to you than what you are not. When we're dealing with God, God always deals with ability.
That's a good word, man.
It's not about the 99 skills you don't possess. You can take the one skill you possess and whoop the devil and whoop the enemy and whoop the foe and whoop the opposition like they've never been whooped before. So I may be small. I may be insignificant. But that's not all. If you follow scripture, you see God always takes the least. God always takes the leftover. God always takes the forgotten. God always takes the remnant. And with that remnant, he will preserve an entire nation. I may be small, but that's not all. When David came to the battle, his brother said, David, what you doing here? You just here to cause trouble. Ain't you supposed to be watching the two little three sheep? I'm going to put them sheep still in the pen while you coming down here handling grown men's business. We trying to fight the Philistines. Well, in reality, they weren't trying to fight the Philistines because they were scared and they were afraid. And even the king was shaking in his boots. God uses the small. Perfect example in today's worship service, our children. Amen. That's right. You can clap about it. Did you hear all of those grades, all those scholars? I tell you what, if I was going to get sick, I know I want to do it here. If I need some questions answered, we're going to have doctors and accountants and lawyers and musicians. And I think I'm in the right place at the right time. Never despise small beginnings because I'm small, but that's not all. Moving on, you are being ready to be thrust in the spotlight for this moment in time. Amen. See, David was doing everyday, ordinary things. He was being faithful to whatever it was God put in his hand. Yet he did not know the mundane yet consistent little things he would do from day to day was preparing him for greatness. See, what I'm saying is that you may be a dishwasher, but there's something about washing dishes faithfully the right way that you can apply to other areas of life. You just may be a sports person. You just may be this or that. But there is something within your history that is preparing you for the moment when you will be thrust into the limelight. David was ready for battle because he had already killed a lion. But yet his job was to watch out the sheep.
That's right.
David was ready for this moment because he had already killed the bear. Yet his job was to be out in the mere fields as a lowly shepherd.
Yes.
The everyday mundane tasks that you are being faithful to right now are preparing you for your moment in destiny.
Yes.
See, in order to be successful, it's not about the mountaintop experience. It's about all of the valleys and peaks and all of the things that don't seem like they matter much in between. See, if David would have just came off of the cuff and fought Goliath, the story would read another way. But because David had been faithful to whatever it is God had put in his hand all the day long, day in, day out, when he was praised, when he wasn't, when he was rewarded, when he wasn't, when he was paid, when he wasn't, because he had been faithful throughout the whole process, when the moment came, he was ready. Your moment is coming. Your faithfulness to your family is preparing you. Your commitment to your job is preparing you. Your commitment to your community is preparing you. And if you're not willing to be prepared in the insignificant moments, when the battle comes like these giants, you're going to be shaken in your boots. See, the reason why I believe, now I'm just using my Holy Ghost imagination. You know, that's what preachers like to say when we make up stuff that ain't in the Bible. See, it's still inspired because the Holy Ghost gave me this. But I'm just surmising here. I feel that David's brothers, even though they were soldiers, were not ready for battle because they had dropped the details of the matter beforehand. Sometimes we think things are not important. Sometimes we think things are not significant. If I told you were doing some big job, of course you're going to prepare for it. But if I say take the garbage out, you don't care how you take the garbage out. So that's why you throw the garbage in the can and you don't tie up the bag. And then when you don't tie up the bag, the raccoons get in there and they make a big mess. Now, I'm not talking to nobody in nobody's house or nothing like my kids or nothing. But I'm saying, when you give attention to the little details, when the big moments come, you're going to be ready. So when God gives you that job, as that great garbage man, you're going to say, my dad told me how to tie them bags. Is trying to help you out since it's family month. We can kind of get rid of some of this family tension. So David was thrust into the limelight, but his whole life he had been preparing for it. You see, David was carrying something all along that was going to prepare him. What's interesting is that they belittled David. But then when the decision came that David was going to fight the giant, they gave him some armor.
Yeah, well.
You'll get that later. When you go home, you're going to be like, I know what he's talking about. They belittled him, but yet he was the only one willing to step up. And when he stepped up, they was willing for him to fulfill that role. So they gave him the armor. But the armor was too big for David. It was too cumbersome. He wasn't down with that. He wasn't familiar with how to work this armor. But there was something that God gave David that he kept with him all the time. And David could not use that armor. But David had a sling. And David kept that sling handy. See, you may not have a degree. You may not be a PhD. You may not be a homemaker. You may not be a policeman. But there's something God gave you all along. The giants in your life will fall if you use what God gave you. You ain't got to incorporate nobody else's tools. You ain't got to figure out nobody else's life plan. You just got to use what God gave you. He was thrust in the limelight, but he was going to use what God already gave him. You are preparing for your moment in destiny. You're preparing to strengthen your family. You're preparing to go to the next level in your job or in your dreams, in your career. But you are going to use what God already gave you. I know we say use what your mama gave you, but your mama got it from God. So before mama had it, it came from the Creator. So now we're getting ready to slay the giant. I told you I'm going to be done. I'm only going to half tell the truth about it. It's time to slay the giant. It's time to face that thing that maybe in your whole family system you've been denying. You've been running from. Maybe others in your family have come up against this thing and fallen or faltered or failed or have been denied or have not been successful. But because of what God has given you, it's time to face the giant. So you want to talk about Israel, David says to Goliath. You want to come against me with physical things of warfare, but I am going to come against you, Goliath, in the name of the Lord my God. You talked about Israel, you talked about my people, but rest assured, before this day is done, you going to know my God is not to be trifled. You going to know my people will never be your slave. You going to know that my family is not going to fail. You going to know that my business, because it's time to slay the giant. So come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. Come on, come on. You want some of this? Come on. I'm gonna show you what a superhero is made of. And so David takes 5 smooth stones. Saul gives him the armor. I don't want the armor. He gives him the hammer. I don't want the hammer. He gives him the sword. I don't want the sword. That stuff is too heavy for me. I'm not familiar with that. David takes 5 smooth stones. And he takes a slingshot. David knows that it's God who has been preparing him all along.
Amen.
I say it again. We see it even in our congregation, how God is preparing these young people, how they're growing up right before our eyes, how they're accomplishing great things. I wish there were some years I could say, I was on honor roll, all folk. Ooh-wee. I'm going to tell y'all this real quick story. 8th grade, somebody who graduated from 8th grade? Who's that graduated today? That's what I'm talking about. We want participation. See, the deacon's ready to roll with. And that was my fault. See, the first trick is you got to ask the right question. I asked the wrong question. Who graduated from 8th grade this year or recently? It wasn't even called 8th grade when you graduated. I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you because I got the mic. Let's call something different. But how many recent graduates we got here? When I was in 8th grade, I used to talk a lot. I know that was a surprise to y'all. And so my teacher put me next to her so I wouldn't disrupt the other kids. I would just do my work. Sometimes it was correct, sometimes it wasn't. I would just do my work, so when she would say, stop talking, I'd say, I'm done with everything. So she put me by her. So I sat by her. I didn't have nobody to talk to. You know what I did? I started talking to the teacher. And we just became great friends. We became friends that so much so, you're going to find this funny, my educators, that when report card came, she found herself in a conundrum. She didn't want to fail me. She didn't want to not give me the accolades of everybody else. So my teacher put me on honor roll, you know, and I was, you know, I was a few points. I'm trying to protect my teacher now. But my mother, when I went home and I said, Mom, I got the honor roll pin and I'm on honor roll. And my mother is an educator. My mother said, you got on honor roll. I said, yeah, Mom made honor roll. She said, Then I said, now they gave me an award. They gave you an award. And they're going to have a ceremony at school. And you welcome, you know, you're going to come and they're going. My mom said, let me tell you something right now. You are not on honor roll. Whenever you got that pin, you need to take it back. And furthermore, I've already told your sister, if you stand up when they recognize you for any award, I'm going to tear your hide from here to kingdom come. And so the award ceremony comes. And they're going through the names alphabetically. And I'm wondering what I'm going to do. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. They don't know somewhere in there. J's are coming. So I'm like, and my sister, she was always on 4.0. And so she's looking like, you better not get that award. She got her award. You better not get that award. And so I figured it out. I said, you know what? I'm going to tell my teacher I got to go to the bathroom. We about to call your name. I really got this emergency. So I just went to the bathroom and stayed there the whole time, you know. But the point of the story is that I wish at you guys' age that I could have accomplished what you have already achieved. And so I say to you young people, you're not striving for greatness. You're not pressing towards the mark. You have already achieved what some of us as adults, if we were honest enough to say, we would say, I couldn't do that. Now that's an important point to make because guess what? We just talked about it's time to slay the giant. But the giant isn't just for grown folk. The giant is for you in whatever stage you are in life. And so now it's time to go to battle. And so I wonder, why did God have David get 5 stones? Our text read that David was that Goliath was 9 foot tall, that Goliath was the undefeated champion of the Philistines, that Goliath was mean and big and bad and ugly. And not only had they terrified Israel, but that was the MO of the Philistines. They just did to Israel what they had already done to everybody else. But with God and God's people, it's supposed to be different. What take out other people, you're supposed to overcome. What blocks other people, you're supposed to go through. What would make somebody cry and shake their head and run away terrified, you're supposed to face it with courage, knowing that you're going in this battle, not in your own strength, but you're going in the battle with God. And so David says, come on. And he gets ready. And I heard a preacher say it one way like this. He said, what were the 5 smooth stones were for? The 5 smooth stones was not just for Goliath, the giant. But guess what? Goliath had some ugly brothers. And so the giant and the stones, if for not only am I going to beat you, but I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to beat you. And if I hit you once and you don't go down, I got more in my arsenal. What is God saying to his people today? He's saying that you already have everything you need to go up against the giant, to go up against the battle, to go up against the fight. You are already ready. So come on. You and the ugly brothers. Come on, test. Come on, trial. Come on, tribulation. Come on, problem. You and your ugly brothers. I bet I'm going to knock you down. Any giant slayers in the house? Anybody who's in the battle? Glory to God. Any real heroes in the house? Now it's time to prophesy to your giant. Begin to speak to your giant. Hallelujah. Can I get that one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand to your feet. Thank you, Pastor. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm so excited I don't lost my voice. Now one of y'all gonna have to do my class. It's time to go to battle, church. The opposition can't have my family. Can't have my marriage. Can't have my finances. Can't have my future. But there is one thing David was ready to do that the others wasn't, and he was ready to battle. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to begin the battle. I want you to begin right now to speak to your future. I want you to begin right now to cry out to God. I want you to begin right now to thank God for the success of your family, for the success of your business, for the success of your loved ones. Begin to cry out. Your children and your children's children shall be saved. Your life is blessed. You're going forward in life. You won't be defeated. Begin to cry out to God right now. Devil, you can't have it. We already got the victory. Our CDS is going to be a success. Our families are going to be blessed. Our bodies are going to be healed. Our lives are going to be rescued. Begin to cry out to God right now. You got to do it. You got to battle. I can't battle for you. You got to battle. Begin to cry out to God right now. Begin to call on God right now. Begin to thank God right now. Go to war. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Come on, begin to talk to God. Begin to pray to God right now. Begin to thank God for the success. To God be the glory. We thank you for our church. We thank you for the vision, God. We thank you for the people, God. We thank you for their generosity, God. We thank you for the love that's in this place. We thank you for the power that's in this place. We thank you that this is the place of encouragement. This is the place of healing. This is the place of hope. Thank you, God, for the new hope that's come to the world. Thank you, God, for the power we have over sin. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but it's time to slay giants. Amen. What makes a hero, is that they are willing to believe that ordinary, consistent efforts are extraordinary. What makes a hero, is that they believe by being faithful to whatever it is God has placed in their hand and being consistent with that thing, they believe that effort becomes extraordinary. Yes. So I'm saying to you today that we are all heroes in our own right. As long as we're willing to face the giant. Go in God's strength. Go in God's grace. Go in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's praise God.
But there may be someone here today who doesn't recognize that Jesus is working upon your behalf. that all the power you need is in him. When you come to the end of yourself, all you got to do is call upon the supreme superpower. And his name is Jesus Christ. The doors of the church are open. Please continue to remain standing. We want to extend the invitation to you to join the family of God, the body of Christ. Some of you may feel like David did, that you were left out, that you were all alone. But God has blessed you with a superpower, with a strength to persevere and to endure until God prepares you for that very moment.
Yes.
But maybe you feel like you're not worthy because no one in your family has called you, because you've been called the least, that you're last. But someone needs to know that the first will be last, and the last will be first in the kingdom. And so I want to open the door.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.